This man is
Jack Mangan,
manufacturer of
the Deadpan Podcast.
In a few moments, he will think of the funniest
deadpan intro
in the world. And as a result, he will die laughing.
We had translators working
in deadpan
proof condition to try and manufacture a German version of the
podcast.
They worked on one
episode
each for greater safety. One of them saw two
episodes
by mistake and had to spend several weeks in hospital.
Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 151. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, and I just want to curl up in your lap. This episode, we have Jell-O packets that were forgotten. But more importantly, we have the Duel of the Fates finale. And some phlegm. I'm not going to edit. There's actually, this probably won't be a super long episode of Deadpan unless I keep, you know, making bodily noises throughout the intro babble. But hopefully it will be an enjoyable one. I hope you enjoy the finale of the Duel of the Fates Season 3. Each of the finalists has three supporters, so hooray. This is actually the very first Deadpan output of the year 2010. Because the previous week we had a silent unshow in honor of our friend T. Morris and his family, and out of respect for the hardship they're dealing with. Please check the blog at jackmangan.com. There are links there for further details, the Helping Out a Friend in Need post. And I realize there's nothing special at all about this intro babble, that it was really the kind of crap you can hear on every other stupid podcast out there. But I'm hoping that with this bit of ironic, self-referential denigration, that you'll excuse the fact that this is not extraordinary. Anyway, moving on to our first order of business is always to play a promo, and I have a personal connection to this one. It is for a podcast novel from Dan Charette, and I actually play a part, not one of the lead parts, but a pretty good part anyway. And here's the promo. Yeah, Deadpan is, you know.
My name is Donovan McElroy. I have a question for you. Are you sick of vampire mania yet? I sure hope not, because you see, I'm a vampire. No, I don't sparkle, and no, I'm not older than millennia.
I'm 37, I'm not old!
Yeah, I'm a geek too. I was turned in 1993 by the woman of my dreams, literally. I don't kill people, at least I haven't yet. I don't brood or solve mysteries, but somebody wants me dead. Actually, I guess they succeeded, but I'm feeling much better now. Care to hear more? Then check out lilith-love.com and come listen to Dan Charette podcast My Life Story So Far.
Hi, this is Chuck Tomasi.
And this is Craig Stapp.
From Technorama.
You're listening to
Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
No, oh yeah. No laughing.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan, you idiot.
Yeah. Shut up, idiot.
Deadpan is the way. Deadpan is the way.
Yeah, you knew that one.
Give you that. Deadpan way? Yeah. Deadpan's the way.
Give your deadpan.
Hey, this is it. The Duel of the Fates third season finale. It will play fast and loose with the standard format and rules this time, actually. You know, it's like playing a full NFL season, then deciding the Super Bowl in a game of street football. With delays for cars.
Car!
The end zone's marked with chalk, and passes intercepted by low tree branches. And wow, that's two Duel of the Fates Wayne's World references now. I wonder if there will be a third. So for the finals, in one corner,
I am Buzz Lightyear
from Toy Story. Opposite him, we have the Ming Rorschach tag team. Only wrestling is fake. This shit is real. So yeah, what happened? Pieces of Flash Gordon's Ming the Merciless and Rorschach from Watchmen have been assembled together. Kind of like those Franken toys under the bed in Sid's room. Of course, Buzz might prove a big disappointment to them both if they ripped out his limbs, because there'd be no blood, blue or any color. And also in Buzz Lightyear's favor, he's proven he can operate pretty well while missing an arm. So before we get into the thick of it, let's see how we got this as a finals matchup. In the first round, Ming beat Flash Gordon, and Rorschach of Watchmen beat Otto the Repo Man, only to merge to a deadlock in the second round, and advance together as Ming and Rorschach to the finals. In the animated division, Buzz Lightyear first defeated Bilbo, then succeeded where Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam could not. He defeated Bugs Bunny, who'd won his first round match versus Jessica Rabbit.
Swing! Swing!
Hello. This is T. Morris of Podiobooks.com, the survival guide to writing fantasy, and podcasting for dummies. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Yay.
Next up on the Deadpan, an unrelated kitchen. Ooh. I'm all tingly.
Hello, Deadpan. Just a Joe here. Cleaning out my pantry, and in the back of a cabinet I found this. I won't share it all with you. I'll spare you the entire contents of my pantry. But I wanted to share this gem with you. It's a little gem from Duncan Hines, and it's a double fudge moistness packet. That's what it says. Double fudge moistness packet. You may do with that what you will. Oh, let me read you the instructions. They're just as much fun. Knead for 15 seconds before opening. Moistness packet.
Ponder. If Rorschach had fused with Khan, Noonien, and Singh instead of Ming, we would have had Rorschacha Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Ponder. Rorschach is actually pretty deadpan. Till his last moment. Ponder. Mr. T was only one vote away from making it into the animated division. How weird would it have been to mash him up into the genetic Rorschach Ming monster? His weird mohawk shifting around all the time into different interpretive patterns on top of his head, with tons of gold hypno necklaces, and refusing to get on board spaceships in comical little stands of defiance.
I don't think so, sucker!
I still pity the fool who don't eat his cereal. In fairness, Optimus Prime, Smurfette, and Snoopy all got the same number of votes as Mr. T. Okay, my comedy head just exploded. You know what? Someone out there with artistic talent needs to draw a hybrid Snoopy Rorschach. Not like a Toyota Prius, like a hybrid of Snoopy. Alright. Rotating category. Who'd fare the best in the event of a zombie apocalypse? You know what? No matter which of these three, Ming, Rorschach, and Buzz Lightyear, no matter which of these three you put into a mall full of zombies, the result will be pure fun. Hey, Hollywood. Forget Toy Story 3, these Flash Gordon reboots, the Alien vs. Predator franchise, Brendan Fraser, and CGI blue penises. Make a zombie movie with Ming, Rorschach, and Buzz Lightyear versus Bob from the office up the hall and his colleagues who are chewing on the door. And hey, you know, maybe that movie can actually not forget to include the giant, interdimensional, genetically mutated dead squid. Like a 1950s dad at Christmas, this category gets a tie.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Hey, Ming, why couldn't a single one of your people hit Flash Gordon on his flying jet ski? There were so many shots firing out of your palace as he approached. It looked more like a laser beam snow globe. Is there anyone on your staff competent with a laser? Maybe you should have hired Buzz Lightyear to use his.
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
Love prowess. All this talk about Buzz Lightyear winning love prowess, but he seemed pretty damn depressed when his arm fell off. And he's a toy. I mean, what woman would ever get sexual pleasure from a battery-operated toy? Maybe his name should be B.O.B., you know, Bob Lightyear. You know what that stands for. Speaking of broken arms, Rorschach is onto a potential gold mine in adult apparel. Think about it. Condoms and edible undergarments with shifting Rorschach images. As long as the patterns evoke thoughts of erotic things. I mean, dead dogs, they're not sexy at all, Walter. And his unwashed funk smell as a body spray or cologne, that's also not very sexy. So what about Ming with his pointy, awkwardly tickly beard? Is he attractive enough to win love prowess for them? No, I don't think... Oh yes, he sure is. You're crazy, Jack. I like it.
That actually breaks Buzz's love prowess winning streak. Although Ming is now undefeated in this category. Who knew Rorschach could be an effective wingman? Rotation. Ming, Rorschach, Buzz. All three of them together are still unable to make sense of the disgusting Black Freighter comic story. And we're going to end this Duel of the Fates with another tie. Just like No Face from Spirited Away, the Ming Rorschach Beast absorbs Buzz Lightyear into them for a three-way champion. Okay, no, that's stupid. On with the duel, after this short break.
Yeah, what size fries?
Just get her a medium french fries.
Medium fries and a regular Frosty and two junior Frosties.
Medium fry?
You said a medium fry?
Medium.
Medium fry. And a regular Frosty and two junior Frosties.
Just so you know, the junior Frosties are like 95 cents, and the small Frosties are 99 cents.
Do you want a small Frosty?
All right, fine. Make it a small.
Okay, two small Frosties for 8 more cents, please.
Your mom doesn't want any ice cream, by the way.
So three total? Mom,
but...
Oh, she doesn't want a Frosty?
Right, no Frosties.
Only two Frosties.
Chocolate?
You want chocolate?
Yes.
Or... Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
$3.97
second
one,
thank
you. Uh-huh. Have him talk into it. Make him say Death Pan
is the way.
You
think you can make him say it?
Maybe.
Make the Wendy's guy say Death Pan.
Awesome.
Oh,
now I have the money again, don't I? I could have
gone to Tia Rosa
Pucker. $3.97. Ooh. Five. Dollar something. You feeling like you're in a weird mood right now?
Yeah.
We have a friend who does a radio show, and it's called the Deadpan Show. Can you say Deadpan is the way into the microphone?
Yeah.
Say Deadpan is the way.
Deadpan is the way.
Yeah, say Wendy's rocks.
Wendy's rocks.
Excellent, thank you.
Good night! Oh my god, there's a child running through the street.
For a guy with blue blood, Ming really likes the color red. Another rotation. Between Ming, Rorschach, and Buzz Lightyear. Which of these characters would be most likely to make disgusting slurping noises while eating beans directly from the can? Okay, no, wait. This question was obviously rigged. But all right, after that, let's check the score. And Siamese Ming Rorschach takes the lead.
Gladys, I'm bored.
Buzz Lightyear's experience at overthrowing evil galactic space lords would serve him well against Ming, as long as Ming didn't turn out to be his father. But that still probably can't make up for his lack of experience with unsympathetic, pathological, psychopath, sociopath Rorschachs. Andy's neighbor, Sid the Kid, doesn't count. I shudder to think of what Rorschach's uses for Sid's firecrackers would be. Give Walter a few minutes alone with Buzz, I think we'd be seeing Mrs. Nesbitt again. So Buzz defeats the Ming half here, but loses to the Rorschach half. So who wins this category? Hell if I know. What category was this anyway? Time for the seventh inning stretch. Sit on this and rotate. Buzz Lightyear would be the best of the three at roller derby. Final rotation. Who might they have been as kids? Well, given the haircut, I guess Ming could have been, Charlie Brown? In Rorschach, you have a violent redhead with prostitute issues. I'd swear that Rorschach is really Danny Bonaducci. Except people like Rorschach. So that leaves Buzz Lightyear, who could have been Charlie Brown? Seriously, he does have that same lone curly hair on his chin that old Chuck has on his forehead. Maybe it just migrated down as he grew up? Really, Buzz's face and Charlie Brown's face together are kind of like those ambigram-like Matchbox art images, where there are two faces in one image that you can see when you flip it upside down. So maybe Buzz has a jagged black striped t-shirt under his space armor? No. See, the only problem, we can't have two Charlie Browns in the same battle. If the matter Charlie Brown touched the antimatter Charlie Brown, they could destroy the entire universe. And that would just be helping the Red Baron to win. So I decree, Ming should be the one sitting down at Lucy's psychiatric help booth. We'll give Charlie Brown's miserable childhood to him, and grant Buzz Lightyear's grown-up Space Ranger adventuring career to a kid who'd appreciate it much more. Calvin of Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay, I said I was going to spare you from the entire contents of my pantry, but I just had to share that I have discovered 8 boxes of instant Jell-O mix and 10 boxes of instant Jell-O pudding mix that I have really no remembrance of buying. I guess I either at one time thought I was going to start a nightclub, or there's a chance that I'm Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Snack Daddy. Good heavens.
All right, here in the home stretch, let's talk about the deaths of these three. Rorschach, he actually does, we see his death. He breaks his deadpan demeanor to stand in defiance against a detached, godlike post-human. And then he ends up getting blasted painlessly into his very own unmarked Rorschach blot. What a way to go. Ming stands in place and has time to write his autobiography while watching a pointy spaceship flown by a musclehead buffoon crash in and impale him. Incidentally, the title of Ming's memoir would be Going Rouge. So, he saw the spaceship coming. Why didn't Ming just step 1 foot to his left? I mean, had he stepped on superglue in a pit of quicksand? Had his own hypno ring trapped him where he stood? I mean, you know, that would have been a more satisfying ending, wouldn't it? Is it too late to contact Dino De Laurentiis and suggest a rewrite? Anyway, Buzz Lightyear doesn't actually have a death scene. He falls from a few great heights, but still always survives. Why?
Buzz Lightyear.
You know, one thing that we just can't get past with Ming, he is evil. Since we already likened his tag team partnership to pro wrestling, let's think about what the evil guys always do. Yeah, I think at some point Ming would betray his Walter hat. And so, fittingly enough, Lightyear wins it at the buzzer. Sorry to the supporters of Ming and Rorschach.
None of you seem to understand.
Buzz Lightyear fans, there are three of you and two awesome prizes donated by the awesome Energizer Bunny. So three of you and two prizes, but the thing is, it actually works out because the Energizer Bunny donated two pairs of Team Canada Olympic mittens. See, I can send each of the three of you one mitten, and I'll just keep the fourth for myself. No, I kid. I've kind of known about this outcome all season, but still never came up with a quick solution.
I had 9 months to work on it, I did nothing.
But here is how we're going to handle it. At least two of those three are confirmed for the Deadpan meetup in March, with the remaining party hopefully coming out. We're actually going to resolve the prizes then, and no one will be penalized if they can't make it, none of the three. The two of you will get those, and the third will actually get a Deadpan episode following the meetup, named in their honor, with maybe even some content in their honor. If we can work it out. But anyway, enough about the prizes, damn it. Even though I had some serious doubts and long dark moments of the soul in promoting Buzz Lightyear over Bugs Bunny in the semifinals, Buzz Lightyear wins the third Duel of the Fates tournament to join the illustrious ranks of Spider-Man and Gandalf. If there's ever a fourth Duel of the Fates, God forbid, we'll have to make sure a bad guy wins. Okay, enough now. It's over. Thanks for playing along. To infinity and Beyonce, Buzz Lightyear is the champ.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. We are Deadpan. Deadpan is the way.
The first comment on the recent episode was Vanamon says I had forgotten it was Thursday. Somewhere in the middle, Nomad Scry said, bloody hell, and I thought I was an innocent ellipsis. 565.5. The last comment of the day, number 304, CJ says, new show not up yet, just popped in to wish Jack a happy birthday. Where should I send these donuts? And I see that there is some other birthday wishes a little further down. So thank you very much for the birthday wishes. And here's hoping that it's a good year for all of you as well as me. And let's hope that this is truly 2010, the year we make contact. My children are truly in need of rescuing, and that's really no joke. So I'll have new news tomorrow, actually. So hopefully it'll be good news on my birthday. And in the next episode, I'll give you whatever details I can. In the meantime, for this episode, I do need to give a huge thanks to CJ and Dan, of course, for that fantastic recording. It's getting Wendy's people to say that. Just to Joe for the call, the unrelated kitchen, and of course, to Pip Ballantyne, who, has been, not only has she spearheaded the effort to raise a huge amount of money to help T. Morris and his daughter with the expenses they're going to be facing in the months, weeks, days, years ahead. She's had to deal with an awful lot, including traveling, halfway around the earth, which takes somewhere around, I don't know, it's like a 72-hour flight or something. I had asked her to do this a while back, that love prowess that you heard her do in the Duel of the Fates finale. But of course, when I saw that the shit was starting to hit the fan for her, I didn't even tell her she was off the hook. I just figured that was understood. And I even asked someone else. I had someone else who was all set to go. And then Pip came through and sent me that file. So she did a fantastic job, and I am extremely grateful to her and to you for listening to Deadpan, even though you didn't get this episode because of the iTunes problems we've been having. But I assure you it was a really good one, and I am truly sorry that you didn't get to hear it. Incidentally, if that iTunes problem is persistent, then next week we will try something different. I have some content in hand and some prospective content from Amy Bowen next week. So won't you join her and me in the next full-length episode with content? Send in voicemails. You know the drill, 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664, or email the shit to me, sphericaljackm@gmail.com. And of course, I mean shit in the nicest possible terms. I'd love to hear some fun song lyrics that you enjoy. You know, dumbass memories, deadpan stories, and all that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being deadpan. I'm up too late, so I'm going to pop on the music and get the fuck out of Dodge. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Welcome.
Watch open, it's a Micro Machine USA. Cruiser Mini Micro Machine, vehicle plans, boats to the police station, the marina, the mini motorcycle repair shop, the gas station, the construction office, sports, the wheel working drawbridge, highway, passenger ramp, and garage door. Or take a Micro Machine flying machine in for a landing. Phew, this place has it all. The new Micro Machine Super City 2 Watch Playset from the Louvre. The one and only outrageous original miniature. Remember, if it doesn't say Micro Machine, it's not the real thing.
Warriors. Begin.
seem to understand. None of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you.
You're locked in here with me.
None of you seem to understand.
Seem to understand.